Preparing to delve in 3, 2, 1.
We now return to our interview with Ryan Shapples, where we finally got around to talking about BattleTech Flashpoint and harebrained schemes. It took us long enough, but yes, we made it. But before we begin, Ryan sent me a message, because in the last episode, I may have made it sound at the end that he was just writing all of BattleTech Flashpoint. So he sent me a note saying, and I read, "I want to make sure it's clear to the listeners that Andrew McIntosh, a really smart and talented guy who also wrote the last two Shadowrun games, is responsible for all the main story content. I'm writing events in the game, and my contribution is pretty dang small comparatively. Also, Brian Pohl, Raymond Wood, and Kiva McGinn were also writers on the project who all contributed more than I did. Video games are a huge collaboration, and I don't want to take more credit than I deserve." Ryan, you know, staying humble and letting us know that, yes, there's a lot of people that work on this, and one person's contributions may be very small by comparison. So credit to all of the other people that worked on writing this, and just bear that in mind for the future. Just in case it wasn't clear up at the front or after this episode, now you know. And you know what? Knowing is half the battle. Enjoy. We've kind of gone this whole time without actually talking about what you're currently doing, but I feel like now's a really good time. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing at Harebrained Schemes now.
I am the narrative designer on BattleTech. Actually, some of my work is going to be in the next update, actually, Flashpoint. And so narrative design is a little different, you know, strictly from, you know, writing a world setting or a module or a short story for that matter. You have these, you know, what I'm working on is a lot of sort of micro bite-sized fiction moments that involve choice. So that's a pretty key difference, is sort of the scale and the interactivity of it. It's like tabletop RPGs are actually really interactive. It's just like a different way of thinking about it. You're like trying to give people as many like tools and ideas to sort of inspire them when they play, versus like in a video game, obviously you have a set amount of options you can give someone, typically 3 to 4, and you're trying to find how you could, you know, satisfy sort of the player's desires to express their character through those choices, while also tying it to mechanics where you're like, oh, well, you know, will this cost them, you know, mech tech points, or will this actually make this pilot, after you scold them, make them less dependable? Will it make them rebellious? Will it, you know, turn out that then they start stealing from you? And so with narrative design, you have to think more about sort of the systems in place and the different ways they can interact. And also you need to make sure, you know, you're communicating, you know, you're forecasting the effects of your choice. Like if you're going to give someone a choice that potentially like kills a pilot or makes them lose like a ton of money or something, like you need to find ways to make sure that's clear, or else like if they don't know why they're choosing something and what the possible consequences are, then they're going to stop caring about reading it.
I can see where you have that fine balance between your mechanics and your story, especially in this kind of landscape. Yeah,
I'll be honest, it's challenging in a good way. It's been challenging to sort of take on this form of writing, because it is different and it does require a different set of skills, and I've really been enjoying being better and better at it. And I'm very fortunate to be at a place where I've actually, this is the first time I've gotten a job where it was like, oh, you just read documents, play the game, don't work on anything. Like there's actually been like an on-ramping, which is just like mind-blowing to me. Versus like everything else I've done, it's just like they throw you into the fire and you're inventing everything along the way.
Well, that's good. It's nice that you have at least a pretty clear directive as to what you're trying to accomplish.
This is the first time where I'm just like working on one thing. So it's like I'm actually writing events and just focusing on events and testing events. And so events, if you haven't played BattleTech, are when you are outside of like the combat and you're, you know, you're up in the Argo in space and you're traveling around and you're, you know, repairing things and whatever. Events pop up and give you these sort of these little sort of moments where it's like, oh, hey, you know, Decker just punched Behemoth in the face. How do you want to handle this? You know, those kind of moments.
Carefully.
Yeah, absolutely. They can have some serious consequences, potentially.
Now, what I'm kind of fascinated, it's kind of neat, because I didn't know this going in, is that you've kind of come full circle, because you started working with Harebrained on one thing, and now you're back doing something completely different for them.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
That whole, you've cycled.
Crazy.
Yeah. You've done that whole cycle in pretty short time.
It's been 5 years, you know, to put it in context. It's, you know, it seems like a short time and a long time. It's both. It took 5 years to actually, like, truly work on a video game project.
Yeah. That is a huge, like, discography, if I guess I could, I don't have another term I can use for it, for like a 5 year term.
it's kind of a weird CV, weird resume kind of thing. It's all over the place, but it all like revolved around storytelling in one way or the other. You know, that was always the focus of what I was doing, and it's weird. Like I couldn't recreate, you know, this path. It's been just like moving through a lot of side doors and stuff.
Having gone through that whole path where you worked on Seven Sphere and worked in Hyper and all of those sort of, tabletop projects, how has that informed what you're doing now back in the digital space?
I think one of the coolest parts of working at Hyper RPG was just getting to know more about gaming culture. Like, this is like the most tuned in I was to like everything happening, you know, every game that was coming out. And it exposed me to a lot of different, especially role-playing game systems, and to a lot of different role players who had different styles. And so I feel like I grew a lot. I grew a lot from just being there, like just sitting on the camera. But yeah, so just like watching different storytellers work in their own ways, different DMs, GMs, whatever they call themselves these days.
XM, and satellite radio.
Yeah, XMs. it exposed me to a lot of different play styles. It made me more aware of the different things people like want and look for from games. And it really expanded just my understanding, like the vast and really diverse set of gamers out there. Like, I think it's really easy to get like caught up in this sort of core gamer of, you know, just thinking about like the classic 20-year-old white dude, cis hetero male guy, which there's still plenty of us out here. I'm here, clearly.
Yep. We are too.
But no, I just to confirm. Yeah. It showed me a lot of different ways that people play games and why they play games. And as for Seventh Sphere, like working with Brian was really amazing, because I came on as a freelancer while I was working at Hyper RPG. I would spend my weekends working on Open Legend, and from the beginning, he was just really supportive and really collaborative, and he just, you know, gave me more and more responsibility and leadership. And so I felt like I really grew as a writer. I grew a lot more confident and obviously a lot more experienced from that. And it also pushed me to like try some new genres, where working on Shores of Valhalla, well, it's still fantasy, I had to do a lot more historical research about Norse mythology. Or working on Luminos. So Luminos was a science fiction setting, which also I think will be coming out soon. I know some of these Kickstarter rewards are still coming out. Yeah, I don't know. So it pushed me to explore some different genres. And it was the first time I worked with other writers.
When you're talking about like working with other writers, how is that different? Like when you're in a collaborative experience rather than just writing by yourself, what do you have to think about?
Well, I think the first thing is that like video games are incredibly collaborative. They're way more collaborative than tabletop, because they take so many more people to make. You know, you have this intersection of art and technology, you have all these engineers, you have artists, and then you have like it gets very specific, where like one person's job may be like rigging things up or just working on the animations, and one person's just working on the models, and one person, and probably a bunch of people, are working on the environments. And so like there has to be a lot more collaboration, because you always have to be thinking about how these things are intersecting. And like, you can't do it all, where in tabletop, you can kind of sort of do it all. At least I felt like more like I had to, and it was still possible to do so successfully. But there's just no way avoiding collaboration if you're working on a video game. I mean, if you are avoiding collaboration, you're probably going to make a bad video game. And it's awesome because there's people who know so much more than you do about their individual expertises. And even like in working with other writers, like every writer has a different skill set, has a different style, different taste that you can learn from and grow from. And just obviously having someone to like bounce things off of, having someone to like check you and be like, ah, this feels sort of unclear, or, you know, this is just sort of muddy writing. Like that kind of stuff goes a long way.
So like what I'm kind of getting is, if you're looking at like the video game kind of model, you have a lot of collaboration that's like behind the scenes, and it feels like in a tabletop, it's really in front of the camera. Like you're doing a lot of independent stuff behind the scenes, and then you have a collaborative experience sort of like at the end because you have all the players that are involved.
Do you mean with like...
Like the actual collaborative experience. Like it feels like for a video game, that's behind the scenes before the game is in the hands of like an end user. It's with with a tabletop game, you know, you're working on like building a world and doing all of that stuff, and then it becomes a collaborative experience at the end.
Oh, you mean like when it's sort of brought to your players and they're taking it on and using it?
Yeah, I mean, it's
definitely a tabletop, you know, hopefully I didn't make it sound like there isn't collaboration in tabletop, because there's plenty, you know, you're working with a bunch of different artists, working with different writers, working with like the designer, but there's just less moving parts. But yeah, the cool thing about a tabletop RPG and like really my philosophy and how I write them is that I don't want to write a complete story. When I write a tabletop RPG content, I want to try to write something up to the point to like something amazing or crazy or scary, horrible is about to happen. Like I want to go as close as I can to the climax without like robbing it of momentum, and then hand it off to the players and the GMs and let them take that wherever they want to go. I don't want them to have to feel like they have to learn all this history. Not that history can't get woven into there and should be woven into there. But my primary goal is to create something that immediately sort of pushes people into telling their own story. So yeah, I think that's the great thing about a tabletop RPG is that it's a tool that allows other people to have creative expression.
This is the big question I wanted to ask you.
The biggest of questions.
It's the big question, and it's specifically for you. What do you think video games can learn from tabletop games, and what do you think tabletop games can learn from video games?
Ooh, wow.
Saving points.
I did kind of want saving points in tabletop games. Good point. But
this is a doozy. This is a great question. I feel like I'm going to have a much better answer in a year. Give me a year and then I'll come back and we'll edit the answer in and you can find the release.
We'll take
episode.
A time machine.
I think tabletop could learn a lot from video games in that video games are better at onboarding. You know, they have more tools to tutorialize and they have UIs to show you how, you know, the mechanics work. And I think we're definitely... Tabletop RPGs and tabletop games in general have gotten better at this. You know, the rule books are definitely written better. Like, the writing in tabletop RPGs right now is like, I don't know if it could get any better. It's so good everywhere from, you know, a one-pager to a smaller indie book to, you know, the latest 5th edition stuff being put out by Dungeons & Dragons. Like, we are definitely in a golden age. But I still think fundamentally, the process of getting someone into... you know, first-time player into RPGs isn't much better than it was 40 years ago. I've seen some tabletop games include, like, Root, this is an example, not an RPG, but it include, like, tutorialized turns where it explained, okay, here's what you're going to do on your first turn and your second turn, and then you can, now you can do whatever you want on your third turn to, like, show you how the mechanics of that game work. And so I guess, you know, what I would advocate more for is, like, more intro modules, but just more thought being put into the people who haven't played RPGs, because I think there's so many more people in the world who would love to play a tabletop RPG or want to play, but they don't know how to get started, or because of the way that tabletop is right now, especially kind of being dominated by D&D, that actually pushes a lot of people away, because they think, oh, it's only fantasy, or it's only like what I think D&D is, when it's like, it's such a vast amount of experiences you can have. And so the more, I guess, you know, that's a harder thing for to change. That's more of like a more industry economic issue. But I think just in general, we could definitely do a better job introducing players to their first RPG experience.
Yeah, I get that, because when people, I think from an outsider's perspective, you think about like, oh yeah, tabletop RPGs, automatically it's pretty much D&D. Like that's the automatic thing that you think of, and you don't realize that it's actually, there's tons of other things out there if that doesn't necessarily appeal to you.
Yeah, what if I don't want to play medieval fantasy combat simulator, you know? It's like,
yeah,
D&D is a great system, but it's not the only system, and there's so many other ways to play an RPG.
Right.
But every RPG could be better, you know, little or small, at just introducing someone into how it all works and not making any assumptions about what someone knows when they open your book.
And what can video games learn from tabletop?
Nothing. We know everything. No.
Okay.
We know. We have knowledge checks for that.
Now that I'm working on a video game, it's perfect. There's no issues.
Can't take this away.
From like a writer perspective, so, you know, when I was like looking, when I was in LA and I stopped working at Seventh Sphere and I was looking for like, what's, you know, my next game job going to be? And like everyone wanted to hire a screenwriter, which is great, but I just thought that was so weird that like there was no, I felt almost like it was either neutral to a detriment how much experience I had with tabletop, or how little it mattered to most game companies. Obviously some game companies will be different. People who are making, you know, Divinity, Original Sin, or The Witcher might feel a little differently about those things, but like I think that there are a lot of really great, talented people in tabletop who could and should be working on video game projects. And I know definitely some of them have made that jump. So that's my advice, is video game companies need to hire more tabletop RPG writers and creators, I guess.
Right.
That doesn't seem self-serving.
No, wink, wink. I'm not saying anything. I think that's true, because you see so much great creativity and artistry in tabletop, and
yeah, and ingenuity. You're working with so little.
Yeah.
Sometimes
absolutely.
You're working with nothing.
You pretty much always are.
And imagine what happens if you give people who are used to working with nothing a whole tool set to work with. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I see a lot of people that are kind of like working in both realms, and that's kind of nice. You know, it does feel like at least, you know, like, okay, maybe I play video games, but, you know, I'm going to see a lot of names that pop up sort of in the tabletop space, too, because they work on some similar projects. So is there anything that you're really excited about that I haven't thought to ask about?
Pandas.
That you wanted to talk about?
I don't know. I think, in general, shout out to, like, the indie RPG world. Like, the people who inspire me the most right now are people who are putting out really small, really focused games. And like the LARP community, oh my god, there's so many amazing people. So I don't know, I'm like, how do I say, just get more into indie RPGs. Play RPGs without dice. Play RPGs with one die or two die. I just want everyone to experience the vast and awesome world of
I approve of this message.
Alex approves. Terrific.
Okay, I thought I was gonna get through this whole podcast and not getting Alex approval.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
it was close.
Made me sweat.
That's the point.
Shake
really
it off.
Really make you think. Shake it off. Shake it up.
No, that's something different.
We're not talking about Tadoff Swiftler.
No.
We haven't done that for a while, and I'm not bringing it back. Sorry. We're not going back to that. So, Ryan, if anyone's looking to get some more information about like Harebrained or BattleTech? You know, where can they go to find more info?
Well, I'm easy. If you want to see mostly selfies, occasional thoughts actually about games and writing, whenever that actually happens, I am on Twitter. It is just RS. Oh, dude, I don't even know my own Twitter account anymore. Guys, all right, cut it all. Cut it all.
Cut the entire episode.
My brain. I'm ready to trade brains now.
All right. I'm going to see if I can borrow someone else's really quick.
Beautiful. Okay, you can find me on Twitter. It's just Ryan Shapples. That's RYANSCHAPALS. Super easy and catchy. That's my handle. Also, you can find more about BattleTech over at harebrained-schemes.com. The new Flashpoint update is actually going to be coming out really soon. The Linux beta just came out, and there's going to be a lot of other cool things happening with BattleTech. So if you ever wanted to check out Giant Smashing Robots, if you like tactical RPGs, if you like turn-based, thoughtful combat, this will be for you. I gotta say, like, this is gonna be like very self-serving, but I had 15 hours in the game coming into this weekend, and now I'm at 25.
Nice.
Very nice.
I'm doing work. I'm addicted. That's where you can find that all out.
Just to kind of give me an idea of the gameplay of BattleTech. Is it kind of similar to like a XCOM? Like that kind
yes.
of
yes. Oh my gosh, you could definitely think of it as being similar to XCOM. I think that's a great reference point.
Because I've played both XCOMs and I really like those games, so this is right up my alley.
Yes, and I think you'll feel less anger at the RNG. Sometimes it'll still get you.
Right.
It's less cruel.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I got very used to in XCOM just like reloading my game every time somebody died because I couldn't deal with having to move forward without my corporal.
There's a famous sort of quote about that pretty much sums up how the universe works, and it's like what is it? It's like, nope, it's gone. It's like meat is cheap, and all right, what is it? Something else is not. Guys, this clearly we've reached the end of the podcast because yeah. I'm done. My brain's gone.
Brains. Yeah, that brains. Usually happens about 2 hours in.
That's good.
Alex, if they want to find out more information about Delve, where can they go?
You can find more information about Delve over at delvecast.com.
And there you can find Delve, and you can find Orbital and Attempting to Play and all the other things that I do in my free time when I when I get around to it. Being the, whatever title I've given myself now, the production manager. I am the production manager.
I just got to point out that, like, Alex, you and Nathan just nailed your outros perfectly. Pirouette, you know, landed on the banister after I struggled to get mine out. So you guys are great professionals.
We don't always nail the outros.
No, no, our hit ratio is pretty low, but tonight we hit it. So that's always good. While you're there, maybe click on the Patreon banner. We have some special stuff over there for you. And
we're working on it.
We're working on it. We're always coming up with stuff that we want to give to our patrons.
Nathan's going
to
do a live stream for 73 hours.
Oh, yeah, totally. That's, yeah.
If we get 10 patron supporters at the $1 level.
And then you get all his outtakes turned into an auto-tune song as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's perfect. You look forward to that live stream when I become like a brain in a jar, like from Fallout. I'll be like a robo brain. Once I get to that stage, I can totally do a 73-hour live stream. Thank you to our shiny level patrons, Bonnie Ainsworth and Dominic Perry. You can find us on all podcast apps. It's iTunes and Google Play. And I can't even remember all the other ones that we're on. We're on them.
And most importantly, thank you guys for having me on this podcast, on the Delve podcast. My first time.
Yes, yes. It's so wonderful to finally have you on because you know, I needed an excuse is really what it came down to. And when I realized that you had just started over at Harebrained, I was like, oh, perfect opportunity.
There's my excuse.
You know, we can always talk and not record our conversations.
That's true. We could
then you get the then you get the better stories. You know, that's
you can always join us on a live show if you want to. We do those sometimes.
We do
a
we
live
do.
Show.
We occasionally live stream our just chatting with people about whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah, it's
that sounds great.
It's not visually exciting because it's basically our Discord channel.
We're working on that too.
We're trying to figure out something better.
Maybe one of us will play a game as we live stream it so that people can listen to us talk as someone games.
That's pretty crazy sounding. So you're going to be talking and playing a game at the same time? That will never work.
No, it will never work. Especially if it's co-op. You're not making me play co-op again, Alex. Just for the record.
I just heard the chuckle. Oh, that was great.
That was sad.
6 hours of co-op.
Oh, God. Again, just really want to thank Ryan for gracing us with your presence. I know that you're incredibly busy and very prolific, and I'm very glad that you were able to make time for us.
Oh, man, I'm so glad you invited me. This was super fun. Basically have me back anytime.
Nice.
Perfect.
Tell tomorrow. All your friends.
Tomorrow. Yeah, every single episode is now the Ryan Chapels Hour. You enjoy.
Oh my god, I should just be like, hey, all those indie RPG people that I should have shouted out, I should just give you their names and be like, please have them on.
Yeah, absolutely. Just we have a lot of indie people on the show.
Most of the people we have on are indie people.
Most of the people we have on are indie people.
People are the best.
Yes. You see the best innovation from them. They've been wonderful to work with. We're also very happy when we have people that are, you know, prolific in the industry, such as yourself, sir. You know.
Thank you. Yes. Well, at the very least, the things keep coming out. They haven't stopped me yet.
We will be looking forward to that. And thank you for being on. And as always, thank you all for joining us on the show. And we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
What episode are you guys on, by the way? How long are we into Delve right now? Where are we at?
Oh, we've done at least three of these. Actually, when we get this, we've done at least three episodes.